stick to the rules. That's the message to government from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council ahead of the budget in October. In its latest assessment, the council says spending more risks repeating the mistakes of the early noughties and could fuel inflation further. If the spending rule is applied, it limits overall increases in public spending to 5%. The Fiscal Advisory Council supports saving all of the estimated windfall in corporation tax. Sebastian Barnes is chair of the Fiscal Council, and good morning to you, Sebastian Barnes. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Stick to the plan, you say, or don't go on a splurge, as is the headline in the Daily Mail this morning. Stick to the rules. But will you explain what that means exactly in terms of Budget 2024?
So the situation we're in is the economy has recovered quite strongly, inflation's coming down, but that means that we have record low unemployment, so these capacity constraints in the economy are becoming much more binding, particularly in construction. So we need to be very careful in the way we manage that. On the other hand, we also have this big inflow of corporation tax money, and that's basically money on the worldwide profits of these companies. So this is money coming into the economy. We need to be very careful that that's not going to lead to overheating by pushing on these capacity constraints. So if the government sticks to its spending rule, which allows it to increase spending by 5%, we think that would achieve kind of a good outcome in terms of not risking overheating. But it would mean saving essentially the excess corporation tax receipts. Now, in terms of what that means in practical terms, that would give the government around an additional $4 billion that they can spend on budget day. But we know that they have pressures from ageing. There are already plans to increase capital spending. And so if the government were to do all of that and also to increase public sector wages and welfare benefits and pensions in line with inflation, that would actually go above the amount they can spend under the rules. So they're going to have to make some choices either about what they do on the tax side or what they do on the spending side to make sure they keep it in line with what can be sustained.
I suppose a government always has to make choices here, but what do they decide to do? Because you have, for example, last week Fine Gael calling for a €1,000 tax break for middle income earners. We have calls for increases in core pension and welfare benefits to the tune of, you know, €25 or thereabouts to meet inflation and particularly food inflation that people are suffering in the cost of living crisis. And then you have all these tax breaks that people are looking for, a break for landlords, a retention of the 9% rate for the hospitality sector, to name just two of them. So what choices would you recommend they make, and what choices would you say they should lose?
So I think from the council's point of view, our mandate is to look at the overall balance. So we don't take a view on specific measures. But I think the important message is that choices are going to have to be made between those things. And we also have to think carefully about how we finance the things we have already compared to kind of new policies that people might want to put in place. And one of the big reasons behind this is to do with ageing. So if it wasn't for the ageing population, there would be some kind of extra space available which people could use for new things as well as preserving the old ones. But because of ageing and those costs are really starting to kick in, we are having to make choices between these other areas. In some years, the government hasn't fully indexed the tax system. That brings in more cash. In other years, they haven't fully indexed welfare payments and pensions. So they're going to have to look at all of these choices. But the important thing is that a choice is made. And also people need to understand that we can't just spend a huge amount more money because we have got these constraints in the economy. It's ultimately going to be self-defeating if we put too much money into the economy. We end up with inflation, soaring construction costs, and we don't get a lot more for our money.
What would you say to the middle income earner who at the moment is on perhaps a tracker mortgage, and they've seen their rates go up and up, they've seen food inflation, they've had energy increases in their gas and electricity bills over the last year or so, and they're saying, we can't take any more?
So I think there is obviously a lot of people have had quite a difficult year, partly because of higher interest rates, partly because of the energy crisis. And obviously there has been some help from the government, but it hasn't fully compensated everyone. So I think these are things the government does need to think about in this prioritization that they need to make. But it isn't really going to help anyone if the government just would have opened the floodgates and to lead to higher inflation and to destabilize the economy, to push rents up further. Mm. So that's why it's actually in everyone's interest interest that the overall amount is managed, and it's for the government to decide exactly who is going to benefit and who is going to have to pay some of the
but
costs.
Would you and your colleagues in the Fiscal Advisory Council give backing to more breaks for people, as we saw in the last year, a bit of help, not core spending increases, but one-off payments to help with energy bills? We've seen a break coming, I think, this week for child benefit. More of those in Budget 2024?
So I think that the one-off payments have played a very important role, both during COVID and during the energy crisis. I think as energy prices come down, the case for those one-off measures becomes less. Now, the government also, you know, last autumn there were two aspects. There were the fact that, you know, welfare rates were increased quite significantly, and there were also these temporary measures. So the two packages need to be looked at together. But the case for doing that, I think, is now less as the energy prices have come down. Of course, that doesn't mean the government can't think about helping different groups, but if it helps one group, it really has to take that money out of the economy somewhere else.
You'd like to see them explain one-off packages as well, if that's what they decide to introduce. What sort of explanations would you like to see?
So one of our concerns in this report, there's a number of concerns. There's a number of things about the methodology, the way the government is doing the fiscal forecast that are, in our view, unsatisfactory. And one of the things is that the government, you know, for example, made a big announcement in February on one-off measures. There are other announcements. They make sometimes permanent measures during the year, and they don't always explain where the money is coming from. Now, often that's coming from existing budgets or contingencies that were allowed, but without that explanation, we don't actually know whether these measures are going to change the budget balance or not. And I think it also would just be helpful in transparency in terms of saying, here's the plan, this is where it fits into the plan. Otherwise, it gives the impression that the government is kind of pulling this money out of a hat each time. And I think that's not a very good way of managing the public finances.
Because you'd like something else as well, wouldn't you, Sebastian? You'd like to see the fiscal rules enshrined in legislation.
So I think fiscal rules can be really helpful in terms of managing these difficult choices governments always have to make between spending and taxation. And traditionally, you know, over the past 20 years in Ireland, we've relied on the European rules. Sometimes they've been helpful to us. Sometimes they actually haven't been particularly well adapted to the Irish situation. Now, what's happening in Europe is there's a big reform going on. And as part of that reform, the rules would basically mean there's not going to be much European scrutiny on the Irish public finances anymore. And so I think that means that we do need to strengthen our domestic framework. I think the national spending rule that the government put in place has been very helpful. It really helped them last year to steer through the energy crisis. But we think that by writing it down in legislation, that will allow, you know, the details to be worked out a little bit better than they are. And something that we see from other countries is this should really be a process. This works well where there's a buy-in across the system politically in terms of these rules. I think if everyone accepts that basically we need to run the economy and the public finances on a sustainable basis, I think that's a good starting point, and we institutionalise that. Of course, within that, political parties can have different views about, you know, how much tax and how much spending to have the debate, but anchoring that principle of sustainability will really help us very significantly.
Those different views, I suppose, are always the line you walk between the fiscal advice and the political realities. But another worry that you've had in the council, and you issued a statement on it last week, was this dependency now not just on 10 multinationals delivering the lion's share of the corporate tax receipts, but actually three companies delivering 30% of those receipts. Outline to me some of the dangers of that dependency.
So this is something that's really built up over time. We've always had an unusually large amount of corporation tax in Ireland over many years, but the amount of corporation tax we've raised has doubled since 2019. The total amount is now 8% of our national income, and within that, you know, half of that essentially is above what can be explained by growth of the economy over recent years. And the risks that we've now seen, as we've looked a bit deeper through a paper that work the council published last week, we now know that just three multinational companies basically paid 30% of all the corporation tax over the last 5 years. And that leaves us exposed to all sorts of risks. One is the risk of those companies. Those companies might do well, but they might do badly. If you look, for example, at the top 10 US companies in terms of profits internationally 10 years ago, only two of them are still in the top 10. So companies, you know, some come, some go, some do better. There's another risk that many of them are in the same sectors. They're essentially in ICT and pharma. Those sectors have done really well since the pandemic. That might not continue. And of course, these are American companies. So this is really dependent on what happens in the international tax environment. So there's a whole range of risks, both very short-term risks where things can be volatile, volatile, can move up and down from year to year quite significantly, but also in the longer term, you wouldn't necessarily count on this money being there in 5 years' time.
So in terms of that risk, is it that they will up sticks and pull out of the country, or is the principal worry that we're going to see a change in how tax is structured in the foreign direct investment sector?
There's really a mix of risks. One risk is that they could change the amount of tax they pay in Ireland. Another risk is they could change their activities in Ireland. Some of the risks are that they could really, kind of pull out completely. Yeah, I think it's a pretty extreme scenario. The other risk is they could pay much less tax, or they could even pay a bit less tax. But given how important it's become, we're really, really sensitive to all of those outcomes. Okay. Now, the good thing is to date, we've managed that risk by not really spending that much of that money, particularly in the years ahead if the government sticks to its plans. But it does make a big difference, for example, to how our debt looks.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. That's Sebastian Barnes there, Chair of the Fiscal Advisory